the audio messages from Cornerstone Church Airdrie. My name is Brad, and I have the privilege of serving as the lead campus pastor and primary preaching voice at Cornerstone Church Airdrie. So if it's me you're hearing speak today, or if it's someone else, our desire is still the same. We pray that you are so encouraged, that you are built up, challenged, and inspired. Through these messages, our hope for you is that you would grow in knowing God, knowing His hope, knowing His purpose, and knowing His power. We believe that the God who spoke all through Scripture is still speaking to us today, and we pray that as you listen to this message, the heart of God would be speaking to you. Enjoy the message.
Closer than I was before. So let it rain, don't let it
If you have your Bibles, you can turn to, or at least try and find, the Old Testament book of Hosea. It's good that we sing about God's great love for us, Jesus' great love for us. It's appropriate that we worship the King of Love, because that's what we're going to be looking at over the next several weeks as we attempt to unpack and digest and look through this very interesting and very, at times, difficult to understand and digest book of the Bible. And I want to tell you, before we get into our book and even into the message for today, this is the part, you know, when you watch a show on Netflix, well, maybe you don't, because you're probably all very good, but and you click on the show and there's a little disclaimer at the beginning that says the following content may not be appropriate for children of all ages. I know you probably have never seen that because you've never watched a show like that. But there is this thing that happens at the beginning. Now, the warning for you today is not that the content of the sermon is not appropriate for all ages. It's not that at all. It will be. But for the book of Hosea, as we go through the book, the following messages and series may be at times hard to digest. Maybe at times hard to reconcile, maybe at times hard to fully understand and how to wrap your mind around some of the things we're going to look at. It will challenge some of the presuppositions and some things that we camp on and that we can even sometimes think that this is true about God or God's word or God's will. Especially some of the ways that we can choose to interpret the Bible and the ways that we can see God, especially in our 21st century North American context, that whether we know it or not, or we recognize it or not, we can allow the context of who we are and where we live and the time in which we live to sort of affect and shape our theology somewhat. And as we go through the book of Hosea, it's going to ground us and bring us back down and even take down some of the bits of parts of our theology. And I'm warning you that what we are going to look at over the next few weeks may totally rock your perceptions and your understanding of God and God's will and His word. But in an incredibly powerful and life-giving way. This isn't going to be hard, and this isn't going to be painful, and this isn't somehow going to cause you to question or doubt your faith. But as we journey through this book, it's going to be life-giving, and you are going to see the most incredible picture of God and His love for His people and His love for you. But as we journey through, it's going to be a little bumpy at times. So, all that being said, Hosea was an Old Testament prophet. A prophet in the Old Testament was essentially somebody who was appointed to speak on behalf of God. Now, we believe that after the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, that we don't need to have someone speak on behalf of God for us, but we believe that God speaks to us, that God speaks to each one of us. But in the Old Testament times, there would be someone who was set aside by God to deliver His message to the people. And that's what God had called Hosea the prophet to do. Now this morning, I'm just going to read to you three quick verses, the first three verses of the book of Hosea, and it says this. The word of the Lord came to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, the kings of Judah, and during the reign of Jeroboam and son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord began to speak to Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord." So he, Hosea, married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Now my conviction is this, that if you are reading the Bible appropriately, that if we are reading the Bible appropriately, every single person in here, conservative or liberal, right-handed or left-handed, Flames fan, Oilers fan, or Canucks fan, Christian or not, should be disturbed by what we just read. That is, as we read that, everyone should be disturbed by this. For this, the sign that we're reading the Bible properly, understanding and taking it in, is that we should be shocked and disturbed by what we just read. Because what did we read here? We heard the story of a prophet of God being told by God to marry an unfaithful, promiscuous, adulterous woman of ill repute. Now, I don't think many of us came to church today wanting to hear about some of these things. It's Thanksgiving, for heaven's sakes. We should be thinking about pumpkin spice lattes and turkey. That's where our minds should be. But as we read for the next few weeks through the story of Hosea, and what we're going to read is the story of how God shows his people the story of his people. That as we read the story of Hosea, the story of Hosea is God telling the story of his people to his people. And it's right in the middle of this tumultuous, difficult time for his people, but God is refusing to let them go. God is refusing to let them go. And here he's going to do this by inviting a prophet, Hosea, to do something so scandalous, so crazy, that there's going to be points where if we're reading, if we're understanding, and we're realizing what is actually happening here, that this isn't a fairy tale, it's not an allegory, but these are very real people. I had somebody ask me this week, is the story of Hosea, is it real or is it just like a story? Or is it like a parable? No, it's very real. These are real people called to do real things in the real world, real life. And if we're understanding all of that, at times, it's going to be a little disturbing. It's going to be a little bit difficult to understand. This was written at a very difficult time in the history of Israel, God's people. We're in the middle of a sort of civil war. There's been a split between the north, or two groups, Israel in the north and Judah in the south, and they were moving in different ways, really, really pulling apart from each other, even worshiping God in different ways. And so you may have noticed as we read through the opening verses that we read through a whole bunch of names, that were listed. Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, Jotham, all of these different names. And what's important about these names is that it gives us the context and the time frame in which all of this is taking place. That as we read through that this person was a king and this person, it gives us a picture in the life of Israel where we're at. And we know that from these names, it's a time of civil war between Israel and Judah. And we find that in the story of Israel, God's chosen people is that even though they're God's chosen people, there's lots of times where they wander away from the God who chose them and wander away from the God who established them. And they start to take on the culture of the nations in the world around them, that God set up all of his laws and the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy and all of this stuff, set it all up so that the children of Israel would live differently than everyone else. That was the whole reason for all of that, that they would be different, that they would live differently. But as the Israelites settled in the promised land and as they got new neighbors and people around, their influence didn't really stretch out into the neighboring countries. The neighboring countries' influence began to stretch into Israel. And they began to take on characteristics and began to fall away from God and began to live in a way that flew in the face of the God who chose them and established them. And all throughout the Bible, this is the role of the prophet, to come to God's people and say, you have left the way. You have forgotten. You have forgotten the Lord your God. You have left him. You're going the wrong way. This is the role of the prophet over and over and over again. And this is what Hosea is called to do. But he's not just called to tell the people. He's not just given a message to deliver to Israel. He's not just called to speak on behalf of God. But he's called to use his entire life to make a point for God. He's called to use his existence, his life, not just to deliver a message, but to live out a message. Now, something that you may or you may not have noticed, but in, when we read the opening verses, before they've even set the stage, they get to God's call on Hosea. And in the verses, there's a very important and significant phrase when it says, the word of the Lord came to Hosea. Whenever that phrase is used in the Bible, the word of the Lord came to, that phrase is only used in Scripture in reference to a prophet from God. It's never used in reference to a fake prophet. It's only used in reference to a prophet. Now, interestingly enough, it was also never used in the context of Jesus, because Jesus wasn't a prophet. Jesus didn't come and speak on behalf of God. Jesus was God. Jesus was the Word of God. But when Scripture says the Word of the Lord came to, then what we know is we know that he is a prophet sent by God to deliver the word of God. It's the Bible's way of saying this guy is legit. It's the Bible's way of saying when he says that God said, he really did say what God said. It's his way of demonstrating his credibility. But for Hosea, the word of the Lord was not simply just a word from the Lord. The word of the Lord for Hosea was, I've got something for you to do. The Bible says the word of the Lord came to Hosea, and what does God say to him? God doesn't say, speak to. God doesn't say, tell my people. The word of the Lord comes to Hosea, and God says, speak, or God says, speak to the prophet, or God speaks to the prophet and says to him, go. Go marry a promiscuous woman. Go do this thing. There's only two prophets in the Bible where there's God tells them to do something like this. There's Hosea and there's Jonah, where the word of the Lord to them at the very beginning is go. To Jonah, he says, go to Nineveh. And to Hosea, he says, go marry a promiscuous woman. Now, just for a moment, I'd like for you to think about this command from the perspective of Hosea's mother, from the perspective of Hosea's father. To be a parent, a friend, a brother or sister, to hear someone come to you and tell you, God's spoken to me, and this is what God called me to do. Oh, no, he didn't. No, you did not hear God correctly. I don't think that there's a parent here. I don't think that there's a friend here, a brother or a sister here, that if their son, their daughter, their nephew, their brother, their sister, their friend came to them and said, I think God is calling me to do this, that we would look at them and say, well, get on with it. Every one of us would say, no, 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 no. God has not called you to do that. But God called and calls people to do all kinds of things. God called Jeremiah to walk around barefoot. God called Jonah to go to the capital city of the most ruthless empire the world had ever seen and to tell them they're wrong. God called Ezekiel to lay on his side for 430 days. And here we see the word of the Lord, it's legit, came to Hosea and said, do this. I wonder even about Hosea's response in all of this. Of course, in the recorded story, after God tells him to do this, he goes and does it. But I'm guessing there's a blank space in there. I'm guessing there's this moments or time where Hosea has to process what he's just heard from God. I wonder what happened in there. Was his first response mournful? That this is what he'd been called to. This is going to be his life. Was it angry? God has called me to live my life like this? God has called me to this? Hosea had probably imagined what his life was going to be like. He probably had an idea of maybe not who, but at least what his future wife might be like. What the woman he would marry and would give him children, and the connection that they would have, and the relationship that they would have, what his family was going to be like someday. That he would meet the girl of his dreams, that he'd take her out for a nice dinner, and they'd fall in love, and they'd have this incredible romantic story, and then they'd have this amazing wedding, and this wonderful family, and they'd just have this picture-perfect postcard life. In a moment, God comes to Hosea and calls him to this. And all that hope and desire, in a moment, poof, it's gone. Everything that Hosea wanted for his life, it's not there anymore. He's got to choose between following God and living the life that he thought he was going to be able to live. And so what is the point of all of this? Why is it important that we now, today, look at this weird call that God's given to this man a long time ago, to live his life as a message to a people that we're not? Like, why does it matter that Hosea was legit? Why does it matter that he had to give up all of this stuff? Sure, it's a neat, interesting story, and that's weird and all of that, but it happened a long time ago, and the message wasn't to us and all of that. What is this story about? Is this story about marriage principles? No. No, it's not. Do not take this story as dating advice. If you're here today and you're single, don't hear, maybe this is what God has for me. Don't hear that. This is not marriage advice. This is not a story about how to go and find your spouse. This speaks to us. And when we see and understand all that's going on here, it speaks to us so profoundly about the nature of God, about who God is. It's not a book about marriage principles, but it's a book about the love of God. We sang, how great is his love for us. And that's what this is a story about. That it's a story about a man and a call on his life to make a point to a people thousands of years ago that we're not, But the picture of this book is a message for you in your life about God's love for you. This insane, disturbing call on Hosea's life is a call to represent the love of God. Hosea is called to represent before God's chosen people. He's called to represent God. That God has set himself up as an illustration of himself. That God has said to Hosea, you are to represent me. And Gomer, his promiscuous, adulterous, unfaithful wife, that's Israel. And God has called Hosea to marry the adulterous, unfaithful, immoral Gomer. Why? Because it's a picture of God's love for his people. It's this incredible picture of how God deals with his creation, his chosen people, even as they walk away from him, even as they reject him, even as God says to them, this is how I've called you to live, and they look it over and they read it over and God gives it to them and they internalize it all and they say, no. No, we're going to go do our own thing. They're unfaithful to him and they reject him. And so does God reject them? Does God leave them? No. He puts a ring on it. He loves them. He marries them. He commits himself fully to them. And he rescues them. Maybe this can help us understand a little bit deeper in the New Testament when Paul will write about the church being the bride of Christ. That is, as Paul takes this understanding of God's chosen people and removes it from just the nation of Israel and puts that mantle on to God's chosen people. And we get this other understanding or a deeper understanding when Paul will write that the church is the bride of Christ. You see, we need to understand this. Jesus is the new Hosea. That Hosea was a representation of God to Israel, and he's a representation of Jesus to us. And Gomer, his unfaithful, adulterous wife, she's the church. In the face of all that we are, and in the face of all that we're not, God doesn't walk away from us, and he doesn't reject us. Instead, he comes to us, and he puts a ring on it. He marries it. We are his bride. Hosea enacts before us and enacted before Israel a scandalous, provocative image of God's love for us. Now, the rest of chapter 1 will go on to talk about how it's not just that they get married, but they go on to have children the way that God commanded them to. They have kids. Into this marriage, into this relationship, they have children. And God commanded them to have children. Does that seem difficult? This wasn't a marriage born out of love. This was God saying, go find a woman and marry her. And then they have children. The relationship between the prophet of God and a prostitute brings new life. What we may see is this clean, upright, holy man of God and the seemingly dirty prostitute, brings life. Now, in the world, there's a truth that I think we can all probably agree is somewhat universal. When something is dirty and something that is clean touch, which one wins? Does the clean thing make the dirty thing clean by touching something clean? Or does the dirty thing make the clean thing dirty by touching something dirty? The illustration that I had or that I heard about this was this. How much water would have to be in the glass before you'd drink it after a dirty toilet brush had been dipped in it? How much water needs to be in there before you would trust that it could still be kind of clean? Probably not a nice glass. Probably not even like a 2-liter bottle of pop. Maybe like a swimming pool. But even then, if you saw it, you'd probably be like, kids, we're not swimming today or any day ever in this pool again. It's a universal truth that when something dirty and something clean come together, they both leave dirty. But friends, the story, the reality of God is the opposite of that. In the world, dirty things make clean things dirty. But in God's kingdom, clean things make dirty things clean. The picture of Hosea is the picture of a perfect God loving a dirty, disgusting people, and somehow out of that coming new life. Coming a new, pure, clean, undefiled life. God's not made dirty by us. We're made clean by him. Jesus' righteousness is not compromised because he touches us. We are made the righteousness of Jesus. When Jesus healed the lepers, he wasn't cast out. They were brought back in. When a person came in contact with 10 people with leprosy, they were out. You were done. You were finished. But that's not the story of what happened. The story isn't that their leprosy made Jesus an outcast. The story is that Jesus made those lepers healed. His righteousness, his cleanliness made their dirtiness clean. And being part of being a Christ follower is that because we know that we're the new Gomer, it's our task to love other Gomers. The book of Ephesians tells us, love others the way that you've been loved. Love other people the same way that you've been loved. You don't get loved by God in your dirtiness and then demand that other people become clean before you'll talk to them. That's not the love you were loved with. That's not the love I've been loved with. The love I've been loved with is the love that looks at me in all of my dirtiness and disgustingness and says, I love you anyway. And that's the love that we're called to have. Because our cleanness that comes from Jesus Christ has the power to make their dirtiness go away. We're not, the power of God is not that the dirty corrupts the clean, but it's that the clean rescues the dirty. Because the new Hosea, Jesus Christ, has loved you even in your dirtiness, because of that, we can take his love to others. As a Gomer who has been saved by Hosea, we can now go love other Gomers. The image of God, over and over in the scriptures, is a picture just like this one over and over. The picture of God and his people is the picture of a prophet loving a prostitute. We are the prostitute, and we are loved by God. Can I please get an amen? Amen. This is the story of Hosea, and it's the story of a God who refuses to abandon his people, no matter how far they've gone. He refuses to leave. He loves them too much, and he puts a ring on it. To close our time together and to drive this home, I want to tell you about a woman named Dorothy Sayers. She was an author, a Christian author, in the same vein as C.S. Lewis and different authors. She wrote mystery novels. She wrote detective stories. And she was actually one of the first women to attend and graduate from Oxford University. And if you read her stories, you will see that there's this one character who comes up and over as the main character. His name is Lord Peter Wimsey. Sort of like her Sherlock Holmes. The stories that she wrote all took place around Lord Peter Wimsey. Peter Wimsey in her books is an aristocratic sleuth. He's a Renaissance man. He's a single guy. But at one point, as she's writing her novels, as she's writing her stories, there's this transition that takes place. And she makes a change in the way that she writes. At one point in her novels, there's this new character that's introduced, a love interest for Peter Wimsey, and someone who is in love with him. The character's name is Harriet Vane. In the story, Harriet Vane was one of the first women to attend and graduate from Oxford University. And she was an eccentric writer of mystery novels. And in the story, Peter and Harriet fall in love and get married. Here's why this matters. Because people who've studied Dorothy Sayers believe that as she wrote all of these stories about the remarkable Lord Peter Wimsey, she, Dorothy Sayers, the author, fell in love with Peter Wimsey, her character. And she wrote herself into the story she was writing to fall in love with the character that she wrote. The story of the Bible, of God, is the story of a God who created the universe. And as he wrote the story of his creation, as he created you and wrote the story of your life, he fell so in love with you. And so what he decided to do to save you is that he wrote himself into your story. And he did so in the person of Jesus. Jesus is God in the world, written into your story. In the same way that Hosea rescues Gomer.
Took the sin that stained me, cleansed me, made me new.
Thanks again for listening to the message. Pray that your heart was blessed by what God had to say today. If you'd like to connect further with Cornerstone Church Airdrie, there's a couple things that you can do. You can find us on the internet at cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com and select Airdrie from the homepage. If you'd like to connect to a pastor at the church, you can do that through our website. Once you're on the Airdrie page, just click on the New Here tab in the main menu and our campus pastor from the drop-down menu. You can connect with us on social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram at Cornerstone Airdrie, or you can follow us on Twitter at CS Airdrie. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and get new content delivered directly to you. And don't forget to rate and review the podcast on iTunes, as that helps people find us easier. We're so grateful to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with our community in Airdrie and with you today. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we are a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. And you are a part of that family. As family we go.
I love you.